Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, December 21st, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
It is, Melody. Happy Christmas week.
Yes, happy Christmas week. Before we get into the information about markets and so forth. Well, I'm going to give the market report, but we are going to talk about the Christmas star first, just so the listeners know, because on the East Coast, right after 5 o'clock, we're heading into darkness. And so that is when I believe that Christmas star can be seen. So, but now let's go ahead and look at the golden Christmas star that we have today. Gold was down $5.70 at $1,876. You know, it's down 10 bucks from the high of the day. Silver was up 43 cents at $26.27. Platinum was down $27 at $1,015. Palladium was down 46 bucks at $2,348. And the paper markets today, early morning trade before the markets opened, they were down, 600 points. They were able to reverse them. They worked hard at it all day long. That plunge protection team, they're not on holiday yet. They're still working. The Dow, actually, I believe, is going to be ending on the positive note as we see some of these last numbers come through. Let me go ahead and jump to the 10-year yield, 0.94%. Germany was down almost 3% overnight. I think a lot of that was all due to the report coming out of Britain that the COVID virus has mutated. And, of course, that will have some impact on supposedly on the Brexit discussions. And, you know, that's all part of it, too. So London was down 1.75%. Japan and Hong Kong were down just slightly, but still in the red. And it looks like the Dow will be down or up 37 points at 30,216. Again, this is off from the early morning trade of the Dow being down 600 points. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. So be thankful that they can pull it out and bring it to the upside and allows you to get another day of buying gold. The NASDAQ was down 13 at 12,742, and the S&P was down 14. At 3,694. So, you know, it'll be light trading this week, I'm sure. And you're going to see all kinds of weird trades going off and on. And as usual, during the holiday week, there's always, government always sends through some sort of legislation and so forth where everybody is busy Christmas shopping that they failed to see what gets passed under their noses as it becomes a good time to get things done that people, citizens of this country, probably wouldn't like. But as I said, as the opening, Dave, we're going to talk a little bit first, because I don't think you have it on the script today, about the two largest planets in our solar system are coming closer together than they have since the Middle Ages, Dave. Can you believe this? And, of course, it's the Christmas star. And while it's not an actual star, the two planets will certainly make a bright splash in the night sky. So on the night of December 21st, the winter solstice, Jupiter and Saturn will appear so closely aligned in our sky that it will look like a double planet. This close approach is called a conjunction. Now, the fact that this is happening, of course, NASA says it's just a coincidence, but, you know, well, you know, sometimes we all can even differ from NASA's opinions. But anyway, so it is really kind of neat. You have to go all the way back to just before dawn on March 4th, 1226. My question is, how do they track that for 1226? How do you go that far back? And I don't know. I'm just a question that I'm sure.
They're annual orbits. They yes. just plot them. They plot them on a graph and just.
But that,
push the enter button and voila.
Yeah, but somewhere along the line you have to have that first initial point. So who does that? Who did that? But what's also interesting, huh?
Some ancestor of Galileo.
Which also you have to think, well, if you have to go all the way back to March 4th, 1226, the next one is going to be, I think, in 2080. So it's kind of interesting that we have to go all the way back to, and I'm not questioning anything, I just find it interesting that you have to go all the way back to 1226, but the next one's going to be in 60 years.
Well, my grandson and I have been looking forward to this for about 6 weeks when I first learned of it, since he's only 22 months old. He's fascinated by the night skies. So we've been counting this down, sort of an extra check off on our Christmas Advent calendar. The only problem is, Melody.
Cloudy.
We've got cloudy skies with rain forecast from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. So not sure we're going to see it tonight. We've been actually watching them get closer and closer, the two planets, for a couple of weeks now, and it is pretty fascinating. It's sort of ironic that the northern star is visible best in the southwest sky, but hey, technicalities, right?
Well, you know, they'll likely stand out from the twilight glow starting around 5 o'clock or 5:15. And they say with binoculars, a telescope, or a telephoto lens of 500 focal length or more, you might also be able to see the four largest moons of Jupiter. And that's pretty cool.
Indeed, it is.
And this is the longest night of the year. It's actually probably my favorite night of the year, because now I know the days actually become longer after today. So I look forward to that. So this is probably one of my favorite days of the year.
There's
so
for next year's summer solstice.
Yes. Yeah, so, but it's interesting that if you miss this conjunction, as I mentioned, you want to see the planets in the same proximity, maybe just a little higher in the sky. It's not going to happen until March 15th of 2080, and then not again until after 2400. So just think, in the year 2400, they're going to be having these same conversations, maybe telepathically. Or, you know, however humans will evolve from now until 2400. I mean, you don't know, but...
we'll have to look into a financial survival time capsule.
There you go. Do you think we'll still be on the internet? On YouTube? We'll do...
Yeah, I know. Who knows? I know. That's... maybe they'll be into a retro phase by then. We should put these on 8-track and cassette tapes.
There you go. But the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona is going to host a program beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, showing live views through its telescope. So the stream will be on the observatory's YouTube page. The Virtual Telescope Project in Rome will also share live views on its website. So if you do have clouds today and you want to get out there and see the Christmas star, there's places that you can go to if you have clouds in your area. So I kind of want to just, let's see. I wanted to jump around a little bit, Dave, if we may. I'd kind of like to just touch on this gold's up 24% before we start talking about there has been a stimulus that's been passed. And just wanted to talk a little bit about, as of this morning, gold prices are up by almost 24% for the year. Silver's up 47%. Everyone is expecting 2021 to be even a better year for gold and silver. You can ask most analysts believe that gold in particular will see more banner growth next year. The writers of the Lombardi letter are saying don't be shocked if gold prices make a strong move toward 3,000. We know it's going to hit 3,000. We've been saying it forever. And they want to know why such a bullish outlook on gold, and it's simple. They say there's never been a time when the case for owning gold and gold-related investments have been this strong. Remember the fundamentals. That's what we talk about all the time. Fundamentals. Namely, that gold is one of the best hedges against currency devaluation, wealth destruction, uncertainty, volatility. And again, we've known that gold has consistently proven that it really works this way over the long term. It has one of the longest track records of doing so among all other asset classes. So if we're headed into a period where currency devaluation becomes prevalent and sustained, and why wouldn't it? You know, the Fed and other central banks and governments, what they've been doing around the world, it is. It's like they have forgotten economics 101. And you know what, Dave? They will run out of money. Everybody thinks, well, they'll just print money until the, you know, forever and ever and ever, that it doesn't matter. It does matter. They will run out of money. They will. I mean, we have national governments, especially in the United States, they've been spending without remorse for years. It's just not this administration. And since the beginning of this year, it's increased. But you know what? It has helped your stock market. But it's got to be paid for. Or it's not going to be paid for because the debt's too great to be paid. It will be defaulted on. So because you have strong, high stock market prices, the citizens, the taxpayers, get to pay for it. During the past decade, when we had at least the semblance of a relatively stable economy, no, we didn't. That's what they think. They've been pulling us out, governments, our government, the Federal Reserve has been pulling us out, spending more money to pull us out every recession that we've had for decades. Decades, with the plural. So, one day, that money's going to have to be paid, and there ain't money to be paid, so it will be defaulted on. It's really that simple, Dave.
Well, I mean, we know here in the U.S., as we'll talk about a little bit more in the next segment, our country's national debt held by the public slightly over $21 trillion. It's 99% of GDP. If you take the intergovernmental debt as well, add another $6 trillion to that. Governments could certainly borrow a lot more in the near term as they try and spend their way out of the recession. But as Melody just mentioned, the money they borrow eventually has to be paid back. So we need to ask, if the debt load continues to go higher and higher, will governments eventually be forced to implement austerity measures down the road? And if so, think about the problems that's going to cause, the mass hysteria. There are very few segments of our population that would be untouched, either by tax advantages, a piece of the safety net, farm subsidies, corporate tax breaks, you name it. And look at the central banks, too. I mean, geez, during the pandemic, they've taken incredible steps to curb any risks and to keep that stock market propped up, printing tons, literally tons of money, dropping interest rates in our case to just about zero, and other cases in Europe, it's below zero. It's actually below zero here, too, in a real sense, when you consider inflation. And when there's too much money in the system, what happens to the value of that, quote, money? You got it. It gets devalued. It goes down. So don't think of gold and silver as a short-term investment, ladies and gentlemen. In the short run, it's likely that prices will face continued volatility with occasional big jumps up and some jumps down. That's because investors tend to be irrational in the near term. There's just too much noise out there that they're listening to and thus reacting to. In the long term, however, that's when the fundamentals kick in. That's when they really matter. And right now, all of the fundamentals say gold prices are headed much higher. Going into 2021, many big banks like gold. Several nation central banks are adding to their gold reserves. This bullishness should bring buyers like the institutions and you and me more into the gold market, and that will be beneficial to those of us who own it.
And you know what I always say? I mean, I know where gold and silver are going to go, and it's more, there's a lot more to it about than just the price. It really is about protecting your purchasing power. And if everything crashes around you and everybody talks about the reset and the reset happening, if gold stayed this price, you should be happy. Because everything else around it could fail and fall. Gold is going to stay the same. It is still going to protect you, even if it doesn't move one penny. And that's the beauty of gold. It's never going to go to zero, where everything else may. Or you're going to be losing, 50, 60, 70% of your money. So again, Dave's right. It is a long-term investment. And you hang in there and take advantage of these low prices. And, we're going to talk about how Congress reaches a new pandemic relief bill. We're going to talk about this when we come back from the break. But they did, the House and Senate leaders announced agreement on a bill that would send new federal assistance to households, small businesses, and healthcare providers and provide a $1.4 trillion to fund the government through the rest of the fiscal year. And they have not yet released text of the legislation, which they hope to pass today or tomorrow or at the latest. But we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. So
delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen here with Melody Cederstrom, who stepped away for a moment. She'll be back shortly. We were talking just as we went into the break about the pandemic relief stimulus package that is supposedly going to be voted on in the House and possibly the Senate as early as this evening. Not having seen the text yet, the members probably going to wait. Well, not probably. They have to wait for that. Now, predictably, both sides are complaining that the plan is inadequate in one way or another. We'll talk briefly about that at the end of this piece. Now, to avoid a government shutdown that would have started at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time earlier today, Congress approved the one-day spending measure to keep the lights on until 12:01 a.m. tomorrow. President Trump signed that bill late last night. The deal on the latest...
So it's just for one day.
Just for one day.
How
just
stupid.
Yeah, just to avoid the shutdown. So, you know, follows months of sniping on Capitol Hill over how to fight the impact of this once-in-a-century health crisis, Melody.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's... you know, there is a lot of folks that are just scrimping to, you know, get enough money to eat, their housing. To me, again, I think that is the, I mean, if they don't extend the housing, I mean, I saw where they want to do it for at least 30 days, for another 30 days. I mean, you're talking millions of people are going to be evicted out of their homes. I don't think the plan that includes direct payments of $600 to most adults and $600 per child is going to cut it when they're, from what I read, are they're, what, $5,000 to $6,000 behind in their rent?
Yeah.
So, you know, the landlord is going to make... you know, allow them to make payments? Highly unlikely, Dave. I mean, it's there's $284 billion into Paycheck Protection Program, small business loans, and includes funds for loans for small and minority-owned lenders. It would direct another $20 billion to small housing grants and $15 billion to live event venues like concert halls and sports arenas. It would also add back a $300 federal unemployment supplement and temporarily keep in place other pandemic programs that expanded the unemployment insurance eligibility to independent contractors. So when the jobless benefits expansions expire the day after Christmas, without this bill, you're going to have 12 million people that are going to lose their unemployment insurance. The measure was also set to put $30 billion into the purchase and distribution of the two vaccines. $30 billion into the purchase and distribution.
Yeah, the...
a lot of money. $30 billion for vaccine.
That's going to be enough to get it out there into the hinterlands. Now, the rescue package was... also set to send relief to hospitals, put $82 billion into schools and colleges, and even expand Pell Grants to college students. Now, the deal does not extend the pause through December 31st on student loan payments for 42 million borrowers. But I will say on the air, I guarantee you that after January 20th, that will be introduced in both houses of Congress, and I believe by the incoming White House. So who knows where that ends up. The deal does direct $25 billion into rental assistance and extends for an unspecified period of time, although, as Melody mentioned, that is, it extends the federal eviction moratorium for millions of renters in the country. The measure also aims to strengthen low-income housing, earned income, and child tax credits, and adds $13 billion into enhanced food stamp benefits. Another $45 billion for transportation, including another $15 billion for airline payroll assistance, plus a reported $10 billion for the childcare industry. Nothing specifically, however, for restaurants and bars hardest hit by the pandemic. So, again, this came, the deal came after a last-second fight right before the weekend over a Republican-backed provision that would have restricted the Federal Reserve's emergency lending power. Lawmakers eventually came to the deal to wind down at the end of the year the Fed's lending programs that were created by the CARES Act in March, and repurpose about $400 billion left over in the programs that have been unspent, and bar the creation of identical provisions in the future. So that surely will be a controversial provision by some, but clearly there's a lot of evidence right now that those Fed programs have been largely benefiting Wall Street and other mid to larger size businesses at the expense of Main Street and the smallest of businesses, many of which are now history. Melody.
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know how anybody can think that, you know, this economy is moving along just fine when it takes trillions of dollars just to keep it going, like there's not going to be any, like there's no consequences for having to do what's being done. Like there isn't a day of reckoning. I mean, there was a day of reckoning coming before all of this, before coming into 2020. I can't imagine why people would think that things are going to be okay, and that they're blind to, and they just keep doing the same thing that they're used to doing when things are halfway decent. So it truly is amazing that they have kept any panic from actually happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is amazing. I don't know if there's just so many distractions out there.
I think there are.
And, you know, when people are told to stay home and not socialize, they don't get to talk to other people. You know, the talk has been focused mainly on, you know, the virus. And so it's, I don't know, when everybody goes out there and get their shot, they don't have to worry. And then they look around and see what really happened over this past year. But you'd have to hand it to them. They have prevented a panic. We saw that brief panic back in, you know what, March.
March, yeah.
And so I mean, that truly is amazing. It really is. I mean, we did have a lot of, you know, we had the elections and everything else going on and so forth. So, I don't know. You know, supposedly the $600 will be hitting your bank accounts next week. And, you know, $1,200 per married couple, $600 per child. I mean, that's you know, it's not as much as $1,200 per person, but it's still a hefty amount for a family of four. I mean, it doesn't get them out of their problems if they're renting. If they've had problems and lost their jobs. But this is on top of their unemployment that they're getting. So it's still, you know, not bad. And principal, yeah, you're right. It's but I just can't imagine, Dave, wanting to work and being told that you can't. And I just I can't believe that we're in a place where, and I had to give kudos. There was a restaurant in New York, and he said that we've served, I don't know, it was like 65,000 meals or something like that, and such a, and nothing was ever traced back to them. They did all the everything that they were supposed to do. They did it well. Nothing was ever traced back to them. But now they're being shut down with everybody else. So they're moving to Florida, and they're taking the employees with them. not all the employees are going, but they're taking a handful. They got a place down in Florida somewhere, and they're going to work until summer. So,
I guess
it is, but it's sad, also.
Well, let me throw something out here. I guess I see these stimulus checks in another sense, at least as far. Think about the family of four who live on the poverty line of $26,700, roughly, this year. I mean, if you have you get the stimulus check of $2,400, all that does really is take you 10% above the poverty line, and that assumes, as Melody alluded, that both adults in that family are working. Now, again, you know, if they don't, they're going to qualify, or most of them will qualify for their state unemployment benefits, and now qualify for this additional $300 supplement. I'm not sure for how many weeks that's going to be good for. But it will, the unemployment benefits will again apply to the independent contractors, the gig workers, so-called. So that's a positive development. But again, let's see what's going to happen at the end of March, at the end of June, as, you know, the vaccine presumably gets out there and more people are willing at that point to receive it. We'll see where this godforsaken virus is at that point, and what it's doing to people's lives and our economies.
Well, the only thing I would say different there, Dave, is that the virus doing it to the economies is that the governments around the world that are doing it to the economies.
I stand corrected.
No, I'm not correcting you. It's just my, you know, it's no. I'm not correcting you. I don't know. But here we are today, and this year is over, and we have to head into 2021. And I'd like to think that, I don't know what economically, it's not going to be a good year. You know, the one thing supposedly that if the U.S. airlines could receive the $15 billion in additional federal aid to pay their workers, they're supposed to call back more than 32,000 workers. But why would you call back 32,000 workers if you don't have anybody flying the planes? Yeah. I mean, so if you don't have any, if you don't have any customers,
I guess it's a double-edged sword, isn't
it? Yeah.
So
they're just going to go and sit and do nothing. Yeah.
They don't call them back. They've got to pay back their pandemic loan. And for most of those airlines, it's a pretty penny. So it's interesting. I don't know if you call it a dilemma or challenge or what, but again, just another facet of the widespread uncertainty that have people scratching their heads at best and just full of worry and fear at worst.
And you know, with Janet Yellen being head of the Treasury Department, I mean, Larry Kudlow, I mean, he was Trump's chief economic advisor, and you know, he's a strong dollar advocate. You know, it's all about King Dollar for Larry Kudlow. I'm not a fan of Larry Kudlow. But he did keep strength in the dollar while he was there, and you know, there's pressure on Yellen to do the same thing. And even though she once touted the benefits of a weaker dollar for exports, but now she's pressured to return the U.S. to a strong dollar policy. Well, and that may cause Wall Street not to like what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And the dollar stumble this year is heading for the second biggest drop in the past decade, and has stoked foreign policymakers' concern. It's Yellen, if confirmed, she'd take a office about a month after Steve Mnuchin labeled Switzerland and Vietnam as the currency manipulators and named 10 on a watch list for artificial interference. Those announcements last week capped a volatile period for currency commentating under the Trump administration. And the U.S. adopted a policy of favoring a strong dollar in 1995, making an end to regular calls for other countries to drive their currencies higher. But, you know, it was only that strong dollar that allowed us to go into the debt to the degree that we did. Is that true, Dave?
Indeed.
We'll be together.
Enjoy the Christmas music. We'll be right back.
If the fates allow, hang a shining star upon the highest bough. And have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Take a look in the 5 and 10,
glistening once again
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish.
I think we should just listen to Christmas music for the rest of the program.
That had me mesmerized, Melody.
I bet Todd's there. No, no, I'm, I can't.
Please
maybe
don't
we'll
do that.
Do that. We are going to have a shortened week this week on the radio program, ladies and gentlemen. I think we'll do a live one tomorrow. It went through my... Wendy emailed me, Dave. She wanted to know if we were going to have a program on Wednesday, and I said no. And what I said, wouldn't it be a great program if Wendy, Butch, yourself, and me did one all together? Mm. Just to chit-chat?
Mm. Sounds like fun. Sounds like something for the new year.
Maybe. Well, I was thinking it would be more holiday and we would just do it, you know, for something. But anyway, we might bring that to you maybe next Monday or something like that. But that might be in the future. But I am beginning to get into... I love Christmas music. And it's... And I think particularly this year, it's... I don't know. It just adds a little bit more this year
essential.
Than in the past.
Yes. Essential to our sanity.
Yes. So let's go ahead. Let's finish it. Let's finish up. We got done. There really isn't a whole lot of... And the reason we're doing short programs this week is there really isn't a lot in the news. And, of course, if there is something major going on, then, of course, we would... have a live program. But I mean, even if you read some of the headlines, it's all pretty much what we've been talking about. You know, there's shortages of food, even as France is closing border to trade. The UK is bracing for that food shortage. I mean, there's a lot going on overseas. And of course, we talked about how the strain has mutated in the UK. Amazon shuts facility on infection spike among workers. I don't know how this happened, but a woman finds test in Kohl's package. I don't know.
Finds a COVID test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a Kohl's package. So we're going to go. We're going to talk about something that I'm really not quite sure why this is so important. But let me see if I could pull it up here, Dave. And that is the third suspect arrested in the 1988 Pan Am Flight 103 bombing. Now, the U.S. Today unsealed criminal charges against a third alleged conspirator in the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. It killed 270 people, and they were mostly Americans. The suspect, a former senior Libyan intelligence official, was charged with two criminal counts relating to the bombing. He's in Libyan custody. Attorney General William Barr said, adding that U.S. officials are hopeful that Libya will allow the suspect, whose last name is Massoud, I don't know if we got a full name other than just a last name.
We do. It's
oh,
it's
but it's
like,
not worth reading.
It's long. It's a long name. Number of families involved there, I believe.
So, Barr told a news conference today, no amount of time or distance is going to stop the U.S. and our Scottish partners from pursuing justice in this case. The Justice Department said Massoud carried the bomb that eventually blew up the plane, and the plane was flying from Libya to Malta, and the bomb was in a suitcase, and it had a timer on it. It said that between 1973 and 2011, Massoud worked for Libyan intelligence, including a bomb-making expert. Why? Why? I mean, I get this guy should be, but why did it take so long? Do we know?
No. Well, we don't. I mean, someone presumably does. Here's a case. I mean, that bombing, what, 33 years ago. I mean, hey, good for law enforcement. Sounds like a bunch of international teamwork coalesced to bring this guy in. Now, here's a case where you gotta think there's something else going on.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Now, let's do away with any, you know, like partisan politic motives, which, you know, on occasion are always below the surface. Not for as a motive for bringing this guy to justice, but using it now that the guy's been arrested. And we certainly could hear more about that, but boy, it makes me wonder if he's already been cooperating with law enforcement officials, either here and or abroad. If he's now being used, I don't want to say pawn, but as as a tool for going after others in the various terrorist networks. There's still a lot of factionalism in that part of the world. I mean, in Libya in particular. Certainly, Gaddafi was not a good person, but we do know that since his demise, that there's been nothing short of chaos in that country. So that's the question I had when I saw this, and like you, that I have in wondering what's between the lines here. And you know, that's despite it, and we know that Bill Barr is the person who chooses his words very carefully. And I mean, I just saw a small part of his press conference this morning. I imagine it was videotaped, where he was talking even more slowly than he usually does, choosing his words. So I, long-winded way, Melody, of me saying, I wonder what's to come next with this story.
And you're right, you know, bipartisan policy, yeah, but you know what, I do question, I agree with you. I mean, to hold a press conference and, you know, it's a big show, by all means, I mean, but I think there's probably more criminals in D.C. that he'd be more successful going after and get more of an applause and support than, you know. So anyway, so we'll have to see what happens here in the next, 30 days. So there might be tariffs on Vietnam goods. Before next month, The U.S. Treasury branded the growing trade partner a currency manipulator. We mentioned that earlier in the program. U.S. companies that import goods from Vietnam should brace for significant tariffs from the U.S. Trade Representative Section 301. Investigation into currency valuation practices. Results of the probe, running in parallel with a Treasury review announced last week, could be public as soon as January 7th. Deborah Elms, who runs Singapore-based Asian Trade Center, said it is extremely likely that the United States will impose some kind of retaliation against Vietnam. U.S. companies imported about $65 billion worth of goods from Vietnam in the first 10 months of 2020, compared to $66 billion for all of 2019. Tariffs could hit the $400 billion plus sales U.S. apparel and footwear sector, along with furniture, electronics, and household goods. There will be economic consequences, Elms told a Friday web event that was hosted by the American Chamber of Commerce in Vietnam. So we'll have to see what happens with that, Dave.
Yeah, indeed. It's interesting. Washington it considered Hanoi a strategic security and economic partner in that part of the country, part of the world, excuse me, mainly to help counter China's growing influence, including during the current administration. But tariffs obviously would deal that relationship a setback, regardless of who's in the White House. Now, Vietnam's Commerce Ministry said the tariffs would cause companies there to, quote, lose their confidence in doing business with U.S. partners and reduce imports from the United States. So apparently the two sides will hold talks later on this month. Table is laid for the incoming administration. Certainly could be looking at more tit for tats, which I mean retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports to Vietnam. Now, also be interesting to see if any effect it has on our ongoing trade relationship with China. So, interestingly, tariff collections, if they are implemented here on Vietnam, could start on Vietnamese goods, that is, could start in the first weeks of the Biden presidency, Melody.
You know, I don't even know what to think of this next thing.
Are we talking about the mandating vaccines?
No. Hairstyle discrimination.
Oh, man.
Kidding me?
No, that hit a nerve. I was a victim of that discrimination in the early 70s with my rebellious style. And now it's just transformed apparently into a form of racial discrimination.
Oh my Lord. I don't think because you had long hair in the 60s or 70s was actually discrimination. It was rules. It was how you were supposed to be dressed for school. I got sent home too because my skirts were too short. But it wasn't discrimination.
Sure it was.
It wasn't. It was the rules of the school.
There's legal discrimination and illegal discrimination. I mean, maybe we're just mincing words, but it was discrimination.
Semantic.
It wasn't illegal discrimination.
It was a discrimination. How can it be discrimination if there's guidelines?
You're pointing out a class of people because of how they look.
That's discrimination.
Just because I may have had hair down below my ears or, you know, below my collar, or your skirt was an inch or so, too high above your knee. I mean, it's definition, it's discrimination. It wasn't illegal
discrimination. You just can't throw You just can't throw respectful rules out the window just to support someone's little desire or whim because they want to be different. No, I mean, you went to school and we all knew, it didn't matter who you were, we all knew that the hair was on the collar, the skirts were an inch above the knee, and, you know, if you rejected that, it didn't have anything to do with who or what you were. These were rules and regulations. So,
well, now that sounds exactly what I heard from my 1950s high school principal, Mr. Ballmer.
You know, when you see girls in today's world go to class with their... Oh, we're out of time. We'll have to talk about this when we come back.
Next year or next week. That's the end of the show.
It is. That really took us into the... Anyway, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with a schedule for the radio programs. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really, I'd better
score. Where could you be going when the wind is blowing and it's cold outside?
Baby, it's cold outside.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.